Chatters, chatties, rescuers, welcome home for A Great American Chat, a podcast where we chat about great American media. I'm Chad Maurice, and joining me today is someone who knows the difference between an LD kit and a urinary catheter. Please welcome Jackie Jarros. Jackie, well, thank you for being Chad. Here.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to join you today.
And I pronounced your last name right, Jarros, right?
Jarros.
Oh, Jarros, I'm sorry.
Jarros like Harris.
I screwed it up.
That's all right. Most people pronounce it the way you do because that's how it looks. So no worries.
I should have asked you beforehand.
No worries.
All right. So, Jackie, you are a Great American Family fan, but you are also the co-founder of Team Upstanders. And for people that aren't familiar with Team Upstanders, tell me what that's all about.
Absolutely. So back in 2019, I had teamed up with Trevor Donovan, who everybody should know, Great American Family, doing great things here. And he and I both had a huge heart for the anti-bullying initiative. And he came to the school where I work at Deer Lakes, and we did an assembly about an anti-bullying initiative. And from there, we decided that we'd like this to be something bigger. And so we are in the works of turning it into an anti-bullying initiative that hopefully will be nationwide. I'm actually working at this time on some pieces to get things pulled together for it to be a nonprofit organization. So we are in the midst of paperwork to do that, and so excited that so many of the Great American Family followers are also huge supporters of Team Upstanders.
Oh, okay. So the other co-founder is Trevor, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was somebody, I wasn't sure if he was just a spokesperson or if he was actually your co-founder. Okay,
yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Okay, that's neat. Now, how did you ever get hooked up with Trevor?
So sometime back, Trevor, when it was Twitter, he had done a contest, and if you won the contest, you got an autographed picture. And so I wanted to make sure that I stood out from everybody else. And I knew that he had worked with Habitat for Humanity. So I said, if you pick me, I will make a donation in your name to Habitat. Well, I ended up winning the contest that he had going, and I got a message, and he said, don't worry about making a donation to Habitat. I'm putting myself up for a lunch date with the RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Foundation for Human Rights. And so it was on Charity Buzz, and I'm a huge competitive person, and people kept bidding it up. And I'm like, I'm not losing this. So I won lunch with him in LA, and that's how we met.
Oh, wow. So you went to LA?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That must have been fun.
It was absolutely amazing. It was my first time to Los Angeles, and had a blast.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
That's a fun backstory.
Yeah. Now tell people a little bit about yourself. Like what part of the country are you located in? What do you do for a living?
So I am a school counselor. I live in Western Pennsylvania. I'm just about 20 miles north of Pittsburgh. And I have a huge passion for working with student leadership. I'm also a co-director for a program called RILA, which is through Rotary International. And it is a summer camp for kids that have just completed their junior or senior year or sophomore or junior year of high school. It's all about leadership. So I have a huge passion for that, and love to do that. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. That's interesting. And I know that you're a huge Trevor Donovan fan. And so is Tamara, who's in the chat.
Yes.
I saw her pop in here.
Hey, Tamara.
So you must be excited about the Movie Guide Awards coming up next week on Thursday, March 7th, 8 o'clock Eastern. Trevor is hosting with Danica.
Absolutely super excited about that. And Donna fans, we're going to be putting out a little something this week to get everybody excited. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be fun. A little promo opportunity. So because the Donna fans are so wonderful about supporting Trevor and his work. And it's always so much fun to see what everybody comes up with. So stay tuned a little later this afternoon for that coming out on X and on Instagram. So.
Okay. And will all the Dono fans be posted on X during the Movie Guide Awards?
Oh, I would imagine so. Absolutely. Yeah. I think they'll have the X fingers going for sure. Because for me, it had been a little while. I know Monday night, but I said online, Monday night was like riding a bike, you know, just kind of right back. Yeah.
So there's a few Great American Family movies nominated. A Christmas Blessing is nominated, and A Paris Christmas Waltz.
Oh, fantastic.
And a couple of shows on Great American Pure Flix, Divine Influencer and A Thousand Tomorrows. And also nominated is Jesse Hutch, Lori Loughlin, and Laura Silva, who stars in Divine Influencer.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, the network has a few things nominated, and hopefully it will win something.
Absolutely. I certainly hope so. They're doing lots of great things. So.
Yeah. Now, what else was announced this week? One of the Great American Christmas movies were announced, starring Jill Wagner, Jesse Hutch, Lauren Holly, and Bruce Boxleitner. What do you think of that?
I saw a little piece of that. I didn't have a chance to read it more closely, but that sounds like an amazing cast.
Yeah. It's called, right now the working title, I guess, is called Aurora Christmas. And I guess it's about the Aurora Borealis.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So
that's
going to
be sensational.
Yeah, it should be. And I actually have a summary that I'm going to read here. It says, Erin, played by Jill, joins her dad, Doug, played by Bruce, for a Christmas in the family's former hometown of Aurora, so that's also the name of the town, on a mission that is part business, part bucket list for Erin, to see the Aurora Borealis light up the northern sky. Realtor Lori, played by Lauren, and family friend and local tour guide Trevor, played by Jesse, create a Christmas inspired by faith, love, and hope, so much so that Christmas bells hung over decades in a forest grove ring an unbroken song, a harbinger of miracles to come.
That sounds like a winner. It always interests me, though, you said about working title, that sometimes it starts out as one name and then we hear it as something very different, you know, a couple of months later. So
that happened with the text before Christmas, or 'Twas the Text Before Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. And it happened. Yeah, there's been a lot of movies that's happened with as well. Mm-hmm. So the Apples, Orchards, and Romance that then became Harvest Homecoming.
That's right. But hey, is it Jeanne? Is that, or Jean? How do you pronounce that name?
Yeah, Jean. Hi.
She says hi, Jackie.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it sounds like there's going to be some sort of heavenly miracle in this movie. That's what it sounds like.
I can't lose with heavenly miracle. That's for sure.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. And then also this week, it was announced that Great American Media is jumping into the mystery movie game with Great American Mysteries, and Candace Cameron Bure and Aaron Ashmore going to star in the first one.
That is huge news.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing where they go with all of this, and you know, who else is going to appear, and you know, what we're going to see each week.
Yeah. Now, are you a fan of these mystery movies that other networks do?
You know what? I never really watched a whole lot when they've been on other ones, but I am definitely intrigued by it and would really be excited to see what they're going to do with it. You know, especially now that they're, you know, getting into some of their own series, I'd like to see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, the name of this one is called The Ansley McGregor Mysteries, A Case for the Winemaker. That's a long name. I don't know how we're going to X that one when we're live Xing for that one.
There's the first mystery right there, Chad, figuring that one out, right?
That's the first mystery right there. That's right. Hey, Gina's here. Hey, Gina. She says she is super excited about both of those announcements. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Now, this first mystery movie is based on a book by Candace Havens. And I actually have a synopsis of the movie here. Ansley, played by Candace, a former Chicago criminologist, returns to her hometown of Sweet River, Texas. She has chosen to trade full-time crime work to open Bless Your Arts, an arts and crafts store. But Ansley cannot deny her first love is crime solving and accepts a position teaching a criminology class at the local community college. Her skills quickly become a major asset to the quaint town when a murder occurs at a winery owned by her friend, who now stands accused of the crime.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, so I don't know what Aaron's character is here, Aaron Ashmore. I don't know if he's the one accused of the crime or if maybe he's the local cop or something, police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually in these mysteries, there's one character is a police officer or policewoman, and then the other one's just your average citizen. So.
Absolutely, right. So.
Yeah. Oh, Tamara says she loves the name of the store. Yeah, what was the name of it? What was it called? Oh, Bless Your Arts. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So now, will Candace, will she be somebody that just comes in the beginning, or is she going to be the character that takes the series?
Yeah, she's the main character. Yeah.
That's what I was understanding. Yeah. So yeah. That's and wonderful.
And if there's more movies, she'll continue to be in the following movies as the main character. Yeah, right. she's the lead. Now, the book says, the book's a little bit different than the movie. In the book, she's a former English teacher rather than a former criminologist. So they changed that a little bit.
Yeah.
And in the book, her brother is the town sheriff.
Wow. Okay.
So we'll see if her brother's going to be the sheriff or if Aaron's going to be the sheriff or if her brother's going to be in the movie. I don't know. We'll see.
Lots of mysteries to be solved here, Chad, for sure.
Yeah. Now, what is Gina saying here? I am glad it is going to be a series and can't wait to hear who else is going to be starring in some of the mysteries. Yeah. On Great American Family. Yeah. Well, I think one of the other series is going to be the Ansley Gordon mysteries that they did. They did one movie last year, and I think last year.
Yes, exactly.
I think they're going to continue that series, I believe.
All right. I was curious about that, if that was something they were looking to continue or not.
Yeah, I think they are. All right. So that's the news. Let's get into County Rescue. Oh, hey, Cricket made it. I think that's Cricket here.
Hi, Cricket.
Hey, Cricket. I believe it's Cricket because Tracy is out of town, I hear.
She must be Cricket.
Yeah. All right, County Rescue. This series was created by Brian Baugh, I think is how you pronounce his name. He wrote and directed the first episode, and I think he wrote and directed the majority of the episodes. Oh, Tamara's saying hi to Cricket in the chat there. So here is our cast of characters. We have Danny. She is a young girl who quits things. And we have Tim next to her. In the upper left there. Along with Danny, he's a new recruit at County Rescue. We have Griffin, and I think I'm going to talk. I'll save Griffin. I'll talk about him later at the end of the episode. We have Scotty. He's the County Rescue Chief. And then underneath all those pictures, we have the County Rescue crew. Andy and Ashley are a married couple who are lost in the 90s, and they met at County Rescue. Marcos, we don't learn a lot about Marcos in this first episode. All we see him is saying hi from a distance. But we do learn that he's a painter, so he likes to paint. And then we have Duke and Liz. And Liz describes Duke as the perfect medic. And these two are both kind of, they're serious and no nonsense. They're serious about their job, and they don't like to goof around. Mm-hmm. So as we go on here and I show the screenshots and we talk about each scene, just anytime you have a thought, just interrupt me and interject anything you want to say.
Absolutely.
All right. So this is the story of Danny. Like I said before, she has a quitting problem. She has had 7 jobs in 3 years and ended an engagement to her boyfriend, Hunter. She's starting a new job as an EMT and says this time it's going to be different. So, Jackie, what are your thoughts on Danny?
This monologue, it brought me in to the series right away. When she talked about having the quitting problem, mm-hmm. and then you saw her take the ring and put it in the drawer. And I was like that just, it had me right away. Uh-huh. I'm like, there is already a backstory that we are going to be interested to hear about this character. And I was just, I thought, I can't wait to see what comes next. And that really got to me for sure. There was just something about her character from the very beginning that I was just very drawn into and really wanted to know more about her story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And you know what? I can identify with her character because I haven't quit a lot of things, but I've failed at a lot of things. So I can relate to what she's going through.
Well, and I think too, I think what you're saying is like a lot of people can relate to like, there have been things that have been difficult, like whether they've quit or, you know, something hasn't worked out or they failed. Like, I think right from the beginning, everybody was like, there's something I could relate to here. There's something that I might, you know, be able to kind of cling on to. And this is going to make me very interested in what comes next. And like I said, they had me right at that very beginning scene.
And that ring, we see her putting a ring, putting it in that dresser drawer there. Was that an engagement ring? Is that what that was?
Yes.
Was it? I wasn't sure if it was an engagement ring or if it was like some sort of commitment ring. You know, sometimes a boyfriend will give like a commitment ring to his girlfriend. You know, I wasn't sure what exactly it was.
Because they mentioned later on in the show about Hunter, and I thought they had said ex-fiance at some point.
Okay.
I wasn't sure in the very beginning. I mean, I kind of assumed as a girl, I guess it was a ring. Yeah. I was assuming that it was an engagement ring. But then, you know, then they mentioned later on about her ex-fiance Hunter. So
All right. Now, what's Tamara saying here? I love the way God called her to this new profession. Yeah, that was super interesting. Yeah, God's mentioned throughout this first episode.
I agree. And I think they did it very nicely. Like, I think they weaved things very nicely through the show with the faith piece. And and I think it's going to really say something about her character. And I think it's going to pull a lot together about the contributions that she makes as an EMT. And I'm sure you'll be talking about, you know, some of those scenes later on. But I really liked how they wove everything in. I thought it was seamlessly done. Very, very nice.
Yeah. So she heads to her first day at County Rescue and meets Tim, who is another new recruit. And she also meets Scotty, who is the County Rescue Chief. Now, what did you think when Tim saw Danny? Do you think that he was smitten with her a little bit?
I'll be honest. The first time I watched it, I didn't see it so much, but I did watch it again. And I definitely saw it the second time through. Because I think the first time I was, you know, too busy tweeting and I missed that.
Yeah, but same with me. I didn't catch it the first time, but I think when I watch it the second time, I think there might be a little something there.
Absolutely. I totally agree. A little smitten.
So during their debriefing with Scotty, we find out that Tim has a pre-med degree and Danny was also a pre-med student, but of course she quit. The chief tells them he only has the budget to hire one person, so they are going to have to compete for the job. Now, I have to say, Scotty cracked me up during this scene. I literally laughed out loud during this scene.
He was a tough cookie. I was like, I would have been intimidated coming in on the first day to a boss like that. You know, I mean, but you're right. There were some funny moments with him without a doubt.
Yeah. Danny says, my friends call me Danny. And he says, I don't see any of your friends here. And then he says, Tim, you graduated magnum cum laude. He says, I don't care.
He laid all the cards out on the table. Like he was not mincing words. You knew exactly where the chief stood for sure.
Yeah. And then he says, but you did graduate pre-med, so my money's on you.
And I felt so bad. I felt so bad for Danny because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking all she's thinking about is I've got this quitting problem and now my boss is going to, you know, is already got a target on my back. And, you know, this guy over here is, you know, head and shoulders above me. But she did try to say, well, I went to med school too. Like she, you know, I think she was trying to also put herself out there and say, you know, don't count me out because I've got new things to offer as well. So,
Now, one thing confused me a little bit. He said their probational period is 2 months. Mm-hmm. And he also said the probational period is 20 shifts. So do they work like 10 shifts a month, something like that?
That's a great question. I'm guessing if they do like 24-hour shifts, there might be a situation where they have to like have so much time off they would do another shift. So
Right, that's another thing. They work 24-hour shifts. So they must work like maybe two shifts a week or three shifts a week. Maybe something like that.
And I can't imagine working a 24-hour shift, especially doing something that as physically and emotionally demanding as being an EMT.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, the exhaustion and whatever, and then you're having to adjust to all of that in this 2 month time and like showing your best and doing your best and being your best.
Yeah.
That's really tough. That's a really tough place to be.
And you got to work in life threatening situations on very little sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, in both of the situations, you know, that they posed in that first episode, I was just thinking I could never do that job. Like, I talk to kids all the time as a school counselor about careers. And I always say the medical field is one that I could not handle. There is just, I have such a, you know, just a huge, heart for those that do that, because that's just not something I could do. Bless them for doing it.
I'd be afraid of doing something wrong.
Right, exactly. Like you said, you have to be able to make that decision like in a split second. You can't stop and think about it or look something up. Like it's you've got to just use your instincts and go in the moment.
So then we meet Ashley, who starts to give them a tour but is interrupted by a call by someone who is in cardiac arrest. So the team gets their first call. Danny teams up with Liz. Tim teams with Ashley. And the chief says his motto, be strong, keep your cool, and serve well.
Yes. Because at first when he said that, I thought those were going to be his three rules. I thought, okay, maybe he's sticking those in because he didn't have time. And then later on, we came to find out those weren't the rules. That was just his motto. But that's a great motto. And something is somebody who's in charge has to have. And I think that was a good one for the team for certain.
Yeah, he does mention his three rules, which we will get into later. So when they get to their destination, Danny says a quick prayer. Liz is like, what are you doing? We don't have time for that. Let's go. We got to roll. They come up and this guy is flat on his back. He has no pulse. He's not breathing. Danny starts a CPR and Liz shocks him with a defibrillator. They get a pulse back for a few seconds, but then they lose it. And unfortunately, the guy dies. Afterward, they walk back to the ambulance there. Liz comforts Danny and tells her she did a good job and that they did everything that they could. Now, I wasn't sure when I saw this scene. I wasn't sure if Liz is not a religious person or if she's just so serious about her job that she doesn't want to waste time saying a prayer. We got to go. We got this guy's dying. We got to get moving. What were you thinking?
You know what? I was wondering the same thing. To me, I just kind of thought that she's just kind of a hard-nosed, just business all the time kind of a person. But I also think that they are developing a great character for each person in this series. And so I feel like for Liz, this was like our beginning to see, and we're going to see that there's something behind that, that there's more to it than just this. Mm-hmm. So maybe we're going to find out that something was shaken in her faith, right? And she's, you know, she was faith-filled at one time, but she's not anymore. Or maybe it's just that when I'm in the zone, I'm doing my job and I'm not thinking about anything else except what's right in front of me. Or maybe she looks at Danny and says, I wish I had a little bit more of that, but I'm not going to show her that. So I'll be curious to see as the character unfolds, you know, what we'll find out about Liz and what that was all about.
Now Jay's confirming what we said about that they do split shifts.
Okay.
He says when he was in the sheriff's office, he did 12-hour shifts, three on, two off, two on, three off. Fire department did 24-hour shifts. Yeah, three off, 24-hour on, two off, and then a trading day, one off. Okay. All right.
I mean, that makes sense because I can't, you know, you couldn't do that seven days a week, five days a week.
No,
I mean, that's incredibly overwhelming. Yeah.
What's Tamara saying? I love the way that prayer doesn't blanket fix everything. Yeah. Danny loses her first patient even after prayer, which just proves that prayers aren't really answered the way we want. Yeah. It was real life. Yeah,
that is a really good point that it wasn't like, because sometimes you see with series, it's like, you know, they run 30 minutes, an hour, and by the end, everything is perfect. And that's not true life.
Right.
Like this was something real. And I'll be honest, when they said that this was like a school field trip, as an educator, my heart stopped. I'm like, please don't let this be a child. I'm like, I don't think I could handle if we go in and there's a child that's laying unconscious, or, you know, that there was some kind of other incident that involved a child. It was hard enough seeing that it was an adult, but, you know, I really was kind of curious to see who the first victim was going to be, first patient.
Yeah, and I'm glad they didn't have any kids standing around watching this guy die.
Exactly, because I will say, I thought, you know, everybody that was a bystander to that emergency, I was really overwhelmed by the amount of emotion on their faces. Like, it really brought this scene, like, that I felt very much almost like I was there with them, because they were just playing such a great job in their role of what it would have been like to be there. Because I was trying to, like, figure out who were those people. If some of them were just bystanders, they were there on a trip, they didn't know him. But there were probably people that were there that were, you know, coworkers or friends that knew him and cared about him. So, you know, what they were going through in that moment.
Yeah, what's Gina saying? Gina in the chat says, I love how Great American Family is showing faith in a positive way in the series. Yeah, it was an intense introduction to the job for Danny. Yeah, definitely it was an intense introduction for sure. I mean, her first call, right, the first 10 minutes of the series, we have a death on our hands. So yeah, it was intense.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of action right away. So, they get back at the station. Tim goes to comfort Danny, but sees that Ashley is sitting down with her. Ashley says, losing your first one is the hardest. You did everything you could. That's all you can do. You have to trust God. He knows what he is doing. He is in control. Trusting God is not always easy, she says. We can't see the whole picture like God can. Don't give up. God has amazing things in store for you. And I thought this was a really nice scene between the two of them.
It was a lovely scene. And I'll be honest, when Ashley first came on the screen, I was like, she's one of my favorites already.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
I loved how she took Danny under her wing. And it's what I think I would like to think that I would do if somebody came into my place of work and was new and kind of needed somebody to show them the ropes, you know. And I just, I loved her character right away. And I loved how she wanted to take good care of Danny. And obviously she's coming in with lots of experience, you know, so this was a really good moment of, like, being a good mentor.
And she's a very motherly figure.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, because Danny's not getting any support from her real mother, which we'll find out later as the episode progresses.
So I think this is exactly who Danny needs right now in her life.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. So Danny gets a Sunday off. She stops by her family's house after church, and we see that her family is well off. They are living in a huge house. They've got a $500,000 sports car in the driveway. We meet her parents and her brother, who are definitely not the Cleavers. They are not very nice. They get on her case about all the jobs she has quit, about ending things with her boyfriend Hunter, and about going to church. They tell her that being an EMT is ridiculous, and they encourage her to quit and go back to college and get a medical degree, because I think her father is a physician and her brother is a surgeon. Danny gets upset. She runs off without eating lunch. Whoa, what'd you think of this family?
They were everything I didn't think they would be. Like, I thought, like, seeing what we saw from Danny, I'm like, they're going to be this faith-filled family. They're going to be super supportive of her. They're going to cheer her on. They're going to comfort her about the fiance. It was everything completely the opposite. And I was shocked.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's going to make for a good series, is because this is going to be the little bit of conflict that we see that they go ahead and work through. You know, because I really thought they were going to applaud her for, you know, this is an amazing thing you're doing and this is who you're helping. But obviously they have become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. And I think that they are trying to impart, you know, their values upon her. And she's saying that that's not where I am. And I'm curious to know then where her faith came from.
That was my next
piece. Another piece of backstory.
Yeah, that was my next question. If they're not religious, why is she? How'd that come about? Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm wondering if that's something that will be uncovered in another episode. Because I am really, that was something I was really anxious and eager to know more about.
Yeah, definitely. So the next day Danny decides to take flowers to the chief to try to warm him up. He says, "I'm not a flower person." Then he throws money at her and says, "You and Tim go get donuts." Then, of course, he smells the flowers after they leave. So we see that the chief, even though he has a rough exterior, he is a sweetheart.
He is. He is a complete softy. Like, and I was like, at first I was like, oh, this guy. But then when I watch, I'm like, no, he is going to have this tender heart. But that's part of his leadership style and his management styles that he doesn't show that. It needs to be all business. But when he sniffed those flowers, that like, that touched my heart a little bit. I'm like, he's going to be okay.
Now on the way back from their donut run, they meet Andy, who welcomes them to County Rescue by nailing them with shaving cream balloons. And on this, Danny like gets hit with most of it. Tim doesn't really get much on him.
Lucky
yeah,
for him, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure why that is. Yeah. So Andy is the captain of County Rescue, and he is married to Ashley. Ashley says he is the captain by seniority, not by maturity. I thought that was a good line. And both of them, the two of them met when they were new recruits at County Rescue. So yeah, I like Ashley, and I like Andy. I like the two of them so far.
And I'm wondering if their relationship is a foreshadowing for Danny and Tim.
Oh, yeah, that could be. You're right. You know, I didn't think of that. You're right.
You know, that like, you know, we kind of, we met under these circumstances, and you know, that when you work together like this, you know, the bonds, I'm sure, you know, even though they talked about, you know, not having that drama, but, you know, I kind of wondered if that was a bit of a foreshadowing of what's to come with Danny and Tim.
Yeah. And Tamara is saying that Ashley is the quintessential big sister. Yeah, she is.
She sure is.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's see. Where am I here? Next slide, I guess. Okay, the chief tells Danny and Tim to clean themselves up and go wash the ambulance. And then we get a playful water fight scene where they're spraying each other with the hose. I thought that was nice. Gave a little break to all the action and drama that was going on.
Absolutely. Definitely a nice little just break in the action. Little flirting going on there, having a little bit of fun. That's when I definitely started to see that, yeah, there might be some interest, not only from Tim, but maybe from Danny as well.
Yeah. And while they're washing the ambulance, they ask each other where they would go if they could travel anywhere in the world. Danny says Hawaii, and Tim says Poland. Then Tim asks her why she wants to be an EMT, and she says, "God told me it was my calling." So let's see. Yeah, nothing really to add there, right?
No, I think it was just a nice way for her. I love that she is so confident in her faith that she's willing to talk to anybody about it and let them know this is the story and this is why she's here. Because I think with some people, in life, they only feel comfortable talking to certain people about faith. Maybe somebody that they know maybe shares the same faith, or they know is going to be open and welcoming. And so I thought that was wonderful that she's willing to share that. And that's a way for them to get to know each other a little better. Obviously, they're going to need to, because they're going to be working together very closely.
Yeah, that's a good point. She's not embarrassed about her faith. So that's, yeah, that's a really good point. So now they get their second call, and a woman is in labor. This woman was driving when her water broke, so she pulled over to the side of the road. So they decide to deliver this baby right on the street. Liz tells Danny to get a LD kit from the ambulance, which is, I had to look that up. It's some sort of first aid kit.
Okay.
She brings a urinary catheter. Liz gets upset and says, "Tim, go get me what I asked for." The baby comes out with a low pulse and no respiration and blue skin. The mother starts to get upset, so Danny asks her to pray with her. Danny says a quick prayer. The baby starts crying and seems to be okay. And this, I thought, was a real emotional scene.
Oh, I'll be honest. I I wept openly both times that mm-hmm. I watched this. When that baby started to coo, mm-hmm. like for me, the emotion just came out. It was such a well done scene. Mm-hmm. And to know that like the prayer was there, the mother was so anxious and worried. I can't imagine what it was like to be those EMTs in that moment. And then when you heard that sweet baby and knew that everything was okay, I just, mm-hmm. my emotions just let go at that moment. It was a sensational scene.
Mm-hmm. What Tamara is saying, I'm going to tell you, this scene got in my spirit a bit. Yeah. Both of those women started praying and that baby got up. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And just the Danny's prayer was just beautiful. Just like the way that she spoke about everything mm-hmm. that was happening there and how she was so much with that mom. And I thought, you know, that's even going to translate to just a great bedside manner. Cause she's going to have some patients that aren't going to want her to pray with them, but maybe she's going to do that silently, or maybe she's just going to have a great bedside manner to just take care of people as they need. And I thought that's going to be one of the big gifts that she brings to the mm-hmm. table when they're trying to decide who they're going to hire. That's going to be in Danny's corner for certain.
Yeah. She's very empathetic to what the patients are going through.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So they get back to the station. We get another nice scene between Ashley and Danny. Ashley says, "You made a difference." And she says, "I'll bet that woman was glad you followed God's calling." Danny says, "It felt amazing," and that she needs to trust God. Another good scene between these two. I really like these two together.
Absolutely. And I thought, you know, it was such great advice to hopefully bolster Danny's spirits after that first call, to know that things mm-hmm. went very differently, and that, you know, even though she had the mistake with bringing the wrong thing, you know, she still did contribute something to what happened on that call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. She and Tim get called into the chief's office. The chief gets on her case about bringing the wrong equipment to Liz. Tim defends her. The chief says, "We ain't on a golf course hitting mulligans. We don't have time to do things twice." Then he tells them how that was the chief cracks me
now,
up.
That one cracked me up too.
I know. He's always coming out with these funny lines. Then he tells them his three county rescue rules: keep the ambulance stocked, keep up on your paperwork, and no romance in HQ. I remember on X when this was on, I sent a post out on X. We'll see about that. No romance.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not happening. We're going to see some romance here. No doubt about it. At least 2 out of 3 is not bad. Right, Chad?
Yeah. And then in walks a young guy named Griffin. The chief introduces him and says he is another rookie. What? Vying for the job. Danny and Tim give each other looks like, what is going on here? So now we have three people going after this one job.
One's got a leg up on the other two, right? That's what I was like, oh man, that's not fair.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then the three of them walk out of the chief's office and Griffin says, "Hey, cover me. I'm going to get a snack." And Danny is not happy. She gives him a dirty look.
As she should. Yeah. As she should.
Yeah. So now we find out a big reveal here in this next scene. Danny asks Liz who Griffin is. And Liz says, surprise, he is the fire chief's son. And he's good friends with Scotty. They've known each other their entire lives. Liz says, get used to it. There's a lot of nepotism on this job, which is why I haven't gone anywhere. And Danny is like, WTF, what is going on? So the episode ends with this little bit of a cliffhanger reveal about Griffin being the fire chief's son and that he's also vying for this job.
Absolutely. And I hope that doesn't mean that he's just going to be the shoe-in. I hope that, you know, we're going to see that really what both Danny and Tim can do is what's going to be valued. And right now I like them both so much, I don't want them to have to choose. I'm okay if Griffin's not a choice, but I'm going to have a really hard time between, you know, what's going to happen between Danny and Tim.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts, Jackie, on this show and this episode?
I absolutely loved it, you know, and I was, you know, knowing that it was a brand new series, I wasn't sure what to expect. This was the first one coming from Great American Family. And I feel like I was entertained. I feel like I had that little piece of faith that I love to see. I was able to be emotional. I laughed a little bit. There's going to be some romance. I'm like, this is the whole package. This is a great start.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I love this episode. I thought it was good. I thought it grabbed your attention and kept it. At least it did for me. Yes. I thought there was a lot of action. Like I said, we had a death scene in the first 10 minutes. We had a birth scene right after that. Right. I enjoyed the faith aspect of it. And I think we saw Danny praying, I think, four times, I think, in this episode.
Absolutely. And sometimes I feel like when people are trying to get a message across, they will force it. And I don't feel like the faith piece was forced at all. I feel like, as I said earlier, I feel like it was very seamlessly woven into the show. And I think that the characters, they've already written a nice backstory. Like, I felt like I knew the characters already and it was only episode one. There are some that we need to get to know better, but I feel like they are well-defined and they're going to have a lot of depth. And that's really exciting. I think that's important for a good series.
Yeah. Tamara says she loved it. It has awesome potential. What's Gina saying? Great first episode. And I think it will only get better as we learn more about the characters. Yeah, definitely. Yes, yeah, for sure.
I agree with Gina
on
that. Definitely. Yeah.
This show, it kind of, what this show reminded me of is kind of a combination of the show Emergency, ER, and Grey's Anatomy mixed together with some faith. That's kind of what I thought about it.
Absolutely, yeah, because I had seen that somebody had posted on X about Emergency, and I was like, oh my gosh, absolutely, I had forgotten about that show. Yes, and I think this was a great start, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what is going to happen next, and I hope it's a series that stays with the network for a long time to come.
Cricket is saying that confirmation from Ashley was so important because those moments weigh on your conscience so heavily, no matter if you do everything right. Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
So like you said, we didn't get to meet all of the characters. Marcos, we don't know much about. He just said hi real quick. And Griffin, we only met him right at the very end of the episode. But the kind of impression I got from Griffin, correct me if I'm wrong, that he might be a little bit cocky and full of himself.
Completely. Absolutely. And I'm going to imagine he might be somebody that doesn't have a lot of direction, that maybe, you know, dad has always had to kind of come to his rescue and, you know, kind of scoop him up or put him in places where he's going to definitely get the job or position, and maybe has done that and has not been successful, but we'll see how this one works out. So I'll be curious to see how all that plays out for certain.
Now I was going to ask you what your favorite character is. And I think you've alluded to it earlier that you think it might be Ashley, right?
Yes, she absolutely. I loved how she took Danny under her wing and she was encouraging. I just think that if I were in Danny's shoes, she would have been the person I would have responded to the most. Although I appreciate how hardworking and that Liz is good at her job, like, she's not somebody I would personally respond to on the first day on the job.
Yeah.
That would make me nervous and overwhelmed. And Ashley would be somebody that would make me feel relaxed and confident and, you know, becoming a part of the workplace team.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ashley's definitely a favorite. I like how she comforted Danny in the two scenes that they had together.
Absolutely. Yeah. They definitely had they worked well together there. So I'm excited to see, you know, where that continues, that relationship, you know, kind of like that, whether mother, daughter or sisterly relationship, has a lot of potential for the series.
Now, when I chatted with Julia, the star of the show, she indicated that Danny has a love interest. And so I'm wondering, will it be Tim? Will it be Griffin? Or do you think there might be a love triangle between Danny, Griffin, and Tim? What do you think?
Oh, That should be interesting. I would say, yeah, Danny and Tim, but I would say that, you know, Griffin is going to be the one that's going to step in at some point, you know, whether he's going to try to intervene and then get her attention or whether Danny's mm-hmm. attention will already be there. It'll be very interesting to see. I don't think, you know, her attention was on him episode one, but certainly that has, you know, a right. lot of potential to change. So
right now, it doesn't appear to me that Griffin would be Danny's type.
Exactly. But if yeah. we find out who Hunter was, that might be interesting too. I'm wondering if Hunter will ever make an appearance anywhere that we can find out what his type is, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Now here's some questions I have left wondering. And one of them is, will Danny give the engagement ring back to Hunter? And like you said, will we ever meet Hunter?
I'm hoping that we do. And I'm thinking if Danny's parents continue to make appearances in the show, like sometimes with some shows, like they do that in the beginning just for frame of reference. And then those characters are there and gone. But I would say if those are standing characters that continue, I would say we're going to meet Hunter at some point. And it's probably going to be right about the time that Danny starts to get involved with somebody.
Yeah.
When that moment needs to happen.
That's what always happens, right?
And maybe Hunter will come back and ask for the ring. And so maybe that'll answer, you know, both of your questions, Chad.
The other thing I'm wondering is, who do you think will get the job?
I think because of the perspective of episode one, I'm thinking it's going to be Danny because I feel like, you know, all of the attention was on her, but I'm wondering like if next week, maybe Tim's going to kind of be the main focus and will we mm-hmm. see things from him? So right now my money's on Danny, but I think they both have a lot to offer. So like I said, Griffin is not on my short list.
Yeah. Yeah. Danny's the main character of the show. So most likely she's going to get the job. It probably won't be announced until I'm guessing the last episode.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But so if Danny does get the job, what do you think will happen to Griffin and Tim?
Well, that's why, you know, I was thinking like, does that mean that they just, you know, they're going to kind of leave and they're gone, or will they mm-hmm. join a local, you know, another local EMT department, or will mm-hmm. somebody go in further education and go and, you know, to become a doctor? And, you know, that's where, you know, Hunter became a doctor. If Tim goes that direction, will that interest Danny, or will that interest Danny's parents?
Tamara is saying Tim's totally gonna give the job to Danny. Oh, ooh. I just see that happening. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm wondering what's gonna happen to those two if Danny gets a job, and I wonder if they will be back next season or not.
Yes, very interesting. So I think as we continue to see these next couple of episodes unfold, I think that will probably mm-hmm. answer those questions at that point, mm-hmm. would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of the next episode is streaming right now on Great American Pure Flix, and it premieres on Monday night at 8/7 Central on Great American Family. So, Jackie, I got to say, thank you so much for being here and taking the time and doing this with me.
Oh, I was thrilled to be asked to be here, Chad. I had so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I know I tried to hook up with you during the Christmas season, but Christmas is so busy, you know.
It's, yes.
So much going on.
Yes. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to make it then, but I'm glad I'm here today.
Yeah. I'm glad that we could do this. Now, tell people your social media handles so they can follow you.
All right. So, and if you are over on X, you can find me at jbubbles18. And if you are over on Instagram, you can find me at Jackie_jjarris18. Wow. And also, we would love to get a Team Upstanders follow as well. We are on X and Instagram at Team Upstanders as well. Love to have you follow us there too.
Okay, great. And I am at Great American Chat. And make sure you tell or let us know what you thought of this first episode. And also let the network know what you thought of this episode. You can click on the movie review link on their website. Oh, Gina's saying, great job, Jackie and Chad. I enjoy listening to your thoughts on the episode. Oh, thanks, Gina. Thanks,
Thank
Gina.
you, Gina. It was really fun to be able to review it and really dig into what it was all about, for sure.
And also, let us know what you think of this Great American Christmas movie with Jill Wagner and Jesse Hutch. You know, when I first saw that they were paired together, I thought, huh, that's not a combination I would have thought of. But you know, they're both good actors, so I'm sure that they will pull it off and do a good job.
Absolutely.
And also, let us know what you think of the Great American Mysteries, about the network launching the great or the mystery movies. And of course, we will see you. You're going to be around Monday night for the premiere.
Absolutely.
All right. We will see you then on X for live Xing during the second episode of County Rescue. Until then, you keep the faith, keep smiling, keep your friends close, and keep your great American family closer. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Thanks again, Jackie.
Thanks, Chad.